The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Derek Cullen is a chap from Firhouse in Dublin, and he takes outdoor adventures and he documents them with his camera. He has cycled across, I mean, by the sound of it, the world, really. He's been in Africa, he's done the Pacific Crest Trail, and he's walked all around Ireland. He's currently living alone in a remote cottage at the very northern tip of Ireland to document the solitude and natural surroundings of Malin Head. And he joins me now to tell us all about his travels and what brought him to where he is now. Derek Cullen, good morning to you, and how is Malin Head this morning?
How you doing? Good morning, Maggie. Thanks for having me on. And I'm doing fantastic. All is good in Malin Head. It's a very clear and calm day. So I had a nice walk down to the community centre this morning.
Sounds gorgeous. And you know, Derek, your story is fascinating. I mentioned there just a few of the places that you've been to. Let's go back, I suppose, to a few years ago. You're 37 now, but in your 20s, you're in Dublin, you're working away, everything's going well, but what happens?
Yeah, well, I had a few different jobs, but the main job I was working in at the time, back in my mid-20s, was in a bank in Dublin, as you say. Just working 9 to 5, and I just became very unhappy. I mean, I had a bit of a breakdown at one point. I became very unhappy with my circumstances, with my life, and realised that I'd become very self-destructive in the years leading up to that. So I got to the point where I just knew I needed to do something different, because what I had been doing up until that point clearly wasn't working for me. It was making me desperately unhappy. And that's when I decided to go and cycle across Africa. So it was a very big change. I didn't really know what I was doing at the time. I just felt I had to do something drastic to change what felt like very drastic circumstances. And just to explain that, Maggie, as well, the reason I felt I'd become very self-destructive was that my parents had passed away a few years prior to that. And I'd just really thrown everything out the window. I'd lost interest in my career, football, music, my life, relationships, and everything pretty much. So
you were incredibly
going downhill.
And Derek, you were incredibly young when your parents died. Really, you were 24 when your mum died.
Correct. Yeah, and then our dad died when 2 years later, 26. Then, yeah.
That's just incredibly hard, I think, for anybody to go through at any age. But I suppose in your 20s, when you're footloose and fancy free, you're supposed to be, when something like that happens, then it obviously has a very damaging effect.
Looking back, that's definitely the case. You know, I didn't feel hard done by it all at the time, but I think afterwards I felt a bit sorry for myself. I felt like a bit of a victim, but that didn't serve me very well. You know, I eventually realised that, you know what, these things happen. You know, it's terrible, it's bad, but everybody goes through something along these lines. So it's better to do something about it rather than let that fester and let that get the better of you. You know?
So you decided to take a bike and go to Africa.
Yeah.
And tell me, like, were you a cyclist before, Derek? Had you done any sort of, you know, extreme long sporting like this before?
No, I'd never done anything like this before. So I guess that worried a lot of people, especially, I guess, my family. My brother's a bit of a cyclist. So when he heard I was going to go down and try something like this, that, you know, God knows what went through his mind. But I'd never cycled anywhere. I wasn't really I played football, but I wasn't an outdoorsy person, as you'd say. And I didn't know anything about camping. So that was a huge challenge for me to go down there. And but the day before I left Cape Town, so I cycled from Cape Town to Cairo. It took 1 year to do that. But the day before I left Cape Town, I was going around the bike shops trying to find someone that would teach me how to fix a puncture.
And were you telling the people in the bike shops what you were doing the next day?
I was afraid. I told one and he thought it was amazing, and I was so happy I told him, because anyone else I told up to that point told me I was, made me feel bad about it, you know, made me feel scared about it, more scared than I was. So he actually made me feel really good about it. He thought it was great, and he followed my whole trip, and he thought it was great that someone that had never cycled before was going to try this.
You decide to do this incredible journey from Cape Town to Cairo, but as you say, you're camping along the way as well, and it was a little bit scary at times. Just talk me through those kind of, you know, the first few weeks or months that you were doing
it. Oh, yeah, geez, it's scary to say the least. I mean, the first few weeks, I pretty much cried every day, you know, and I every day I just thought about going back, you know, not because it was so hard on the bicycle or whatever, it was because I was so lonely and I didn't know what I was doing, I didn't know where my life was going. So the first few weeks or month, let's say, was dominated by just severe loneliness, and I found that very difficult. But as I got into the trip, it became very empowering that I was able to continue, that I wasn't giving up. You know, and as every day passed and I went a little bit further on the trip, I gained confidence. And then I came up to the animals, of course, in, say, the far reaches of Namibia and Botswana, and there's every type of wild animal roaming free there. So that was terrifying. I was literally falling asleep due to fear. Like, I fainted one night. I was so afraid in the tent at night. So, that, like, to be honest, that dominated the whole trip. I never really got used to camping with wild animals around, but... You know, I got on with
Derek,
it. I just learned how to stay
You were
safe.
So afraid that you fainted because you could hear the animals. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'd be exactly the same, and I would have been on the flight back like probably 3 weeks before this. But that's unbelievable. I mean, did you see any of the animals, or were you hearing them?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I had a close call with a bull elephant one day, and then I saw lots of other animals in quite close quarters because they can't hear the bicycle rolling up to them, right? There's no engine, so it's very unusual for someone to cycle up to a wild animal in Africa. They're not expecting it. But aside from that, I mean, the predators come out at night time, so I didn't see any predators for the whole duration of the trip. I'm quite happy about that. But you could hear them, whatever it was outside moving around the tent, and I wasn't getting out there to find out what it was, you know. But everything is there, so, you know, I can only imagine what it was.
Unbelievably, you survived this experience, Derek. I mean, it's incredible because, like, it's almost like kind of, what's fascinating is that you say that your fear and your anxiety, it somehow internally, you managed to turn that into some sort of a power bank, you know, that pushed you on through and kept you going for a year.
Right. And I think that was probably the biggest thing about that whole trip, because a lot of my problems leading up to that trip, and still issues I deal with today, are related to, say, anxiety in particular and worry. And I managed on that trip, because I was faced with it so often, after a few months, I the easiest way to explain this is I got bored of being afraid. And I also realized that most of the things I was afraid of, that either didn't exist or they weren't going to happen. And, you know, even with the animals, I learned a lot about animals and studied them to an extent out there too. Animals don't care about people. They don't want to attack me, but my irrational fears tell me that every lion wants to eat me, you know, and that it's going to happen. So that was a great thing, you're right, about that trip, that the anxiety started to dissipate and I learned to think about stuff more rationally with more perspective. Definitely something I didn't have before I started that trip.
And aside from the animals then, what about, you know, the people that you met along the way? This Irish guy cycling through Africa. Like, did you, you know, what was it like going through villages and towns and cities?
Yeah, I mean, it was bizarre. Again, I was very afraid of that, but I came to realise that every village I came to, the people were more afraid of me. It was the other way around, you know. So it was unusual for them, to say the least. I grew this big, long ginger beard. People were referring to me as Forrest Gump online. So I couldn't argue with that. I was quite proud of it, actually. But
and did you, when you went out there first, I mean, were you thinking about, documenting all of this online, or is that something that happens sort of naturally as you were on your journey?
I started to write about it on a website, just with a simple blog, but it wasn't part of the plan. I think I just started writing for myself. I find it hard to think back. Like, I had no plan at all back then. But when people found out about it and as it grew, I realised that sharing that experience was so important to me, and getting all the feedback and hearing people's stories and what the trip meant to people, that really became something special to me. So I started to do that more and more. It was only after that trip when I became interested in video, for example, you know, and capturing my videos or my trips like I do today. I record everything on video as opposed to writing.
And you're on Facebook, and you've got a lot of followers on your Facebook page as well that look at your videos and comment. And I've been looking at your Facebook this morning, and so many people are just, you know, commenting and just saying, keep going, Derek, you're great, you know. And they're so kind of empowered, I think, by you, and very positive back to you. How important is it to have those followers and that sort of feedback?
Oh, hey, look, that means the world to me, and that means more than anything else that's come out of this, to be honest with you. You know, the people that follow that page, anyone that looks at it, as you said, you can see how positive everyone is on it. And I don't know where half these people come from, but just to have them by my side, or any time I do take a dip in form when I'm not feeling the best, they can tell. I think they can sense it from my videos, for example, and they're always quick to support me with messages, like you say, comments, and that sort of thing. So it's amazing. And just to hear how this sort of thing, to know that something I do can affect someone else in a positive way, there's nothing better for that for me. There's so much value I take from that, and I appreciate them so much for that alone.
And Derek, tell me, what do you say to them about the 9 to 5?
I try to get people to stop being so focused on 9 to 5. I personally don't think there's anything wrong with working 9 to 5. It's, you know, as long as you're doing something more interesting in 5 to 9. So I tell people to flip it and focus it on things the other way around. And, you know, it's as simple as, you know, your job is your job. You got to get on with it. But if you make life a little bit more exciting outside work, you'll have something to look forward to every day. And that's something everyone has. You know, time is hard to come by for everyone. But everyone, most people have those hours between 5 and 9, and that's a long stretch where you can do something. I tend to go for a walk or get outdoors. That's what I try to recommend people, because it's good for your health and all that sort of thing. But the whole thing is to just stop being so consumed with work and being busy and all that stuff, and focus on what you can do in your spare time that makes you happy.
That's so simple, isn't it? It's so simple, but you're absolutely right, and very powerful of you to say that, Derek. You're in Malin now, Malin Head.
Right.
It's a long way from Africa, but it's a long way from Fairhouse as well. What took you to Malin Head?
I don't really know. I was here years ago. I walked around Ireland this summer, as I said, and that took about 4 months. But Malin Head just always stuck out to me. It's the very north tip of Ireland. I love being able to stand on the shore and look north and think that the only thing north of here is Greenland or Iceland. It feels very remote to me, but the locals will tell you it's not that remote. You know, there's people living down the road from me, for example, but the nearest cottage to me, the nearest house would be about 1/2 kilometre away. You know, so I just love that real remote feeling. It's a beautiful part of the world. Anyone that's been up here to Malin Head will tell you that not only are the locals amazing, the people here that you meet, but it feels like a different world, and it looks it. There's a reason Star Wars came to film this place. It's absolutely stunning. And every day I go out there, I see something in a different light. And sometimes it is the actual light, you know, whatever the weather is like. But there's always something new to see every day, in spite of the peninsula being so small.
It is beautiful, and your videos are fab, and I love the sheep that are your friends now, as you say in one of your videos, Derek, who were probably a bit scared of you the first time they saw you tramping through the field.
Right. They're the only people up here that listen to me, I think, you know. The sheep, I love animals. I absolutely love animals in every way, but, you know, with the sheep in particular, they're always out the front, and I just feel like I've developed. I'm so happy that they're not afraid of me now, because they were afraid of me, like you said, when I first got here. So now I can walk through the field and they all look at me, stare at me, you know, and I just love that they're not afraid of me. I love that they feel at ease around me. That makes me feel happy.
And sure, why wouldn't they, Derek? You have such a nice personality, and, you know, you're just such a chilled out person with such a positive kind of outlook. What's next for you? You've got a bit of a clothing brand that you're creating at the moment, and you've got your Facebook. Tell us about the clothing brand that you're doing.
Thank you so much, by the way. That's a lovely compliment. I started an outdoor clothing brand called Out There. And it only started a few weeks ago. Pretty much most of the stuff is sold for the Christmas period, but people can find it on outthere.ie or on my Facebook page, Derek Cullen Outdoors. But I wanted to, you see, I've spent most of my last 10 years around the world, traveling around the world. So all the outdoor gear that I wear tends to come from the US or different places, just not Ireland or Europe. And I just always feel that the stuff is much more colourful over there. It's much more, it really says something about getting outdoors. And that's what I wanted, to create a brand that was more colourful and that said something about getting outdoors and that you could create a community around. So I've been doing that, and that's taken up a lot of my time the last couple of weeks. But I've also been planning a few trips for the new year. So I've walked around.
Where are you heading in the new year?
So I want to do a lot more trips here in Ireland. Like, my trip in Ireland just blew me away. This is the best place I've ever taken an outdoor adventure. So I want to continue doing that next year. And I'll start with walking the Ireland Way, which goes right through the middle of Ireland as opposed to around Ireland. So that's the first trip I'll take. Then I want to walk another Camino de Santiago, the East Coast Trail in Canada, maybe visit Iceland. There's quite a number of outdoor trips I want to take. They're all going to be walking trips, because that's what I'm totally obsessed with. I love walking. It's the best way to get outdoors, to see the world. It's so easy to do and it doesn't cost anything.
And can people join you, Derek? I mean, you mentioned the whole Forrest Gump thing earlier. You know, I'm picturing now, like, you know, people coming out of their front doors and joining you as you walk up through the middle of Ireland next year.
I'm running the risk now of everyone calling me Forrest Gump wherever I go. You know, I love to take my trips alone, yeah. And I love to spend time alone. So I do tend to spend those walking trips alone. What we did have in November is we had a group called Walk Every Day in November. There's going to be one for January too. And this is where all the people that followed me made a video of their own going for a walk in their local park, around their local neighbourhood, on their lunch break and work. it was an amazing thing to see. It was a habit that people were forming every day for that month. So that's something we definitely do together. And I'd love
great.
People to join if they
and
want
to. And it's a lovely idea to do in January when people will feel the need to probably have a little bit of a walk, you know.
Absolutely. And that's why I started it in November, Maggie, too. I knew it was a month to prepare people for the month of December, too. Mm. You know, it's a time when a lot of people, the weather can get people down, including myself. And, you know, people can feel alone. So it's a great thing to share with other people online and to meet new friends. And that's exactly what happened with the group in November. So the next one is Walk Every Day in January, and everybody's welcome and invited to come and join that.
Fantastic. And Derek, please just tell us what your mantra is. What do you say before you head out on your walk?
Right, so now this is, I said it once and everybody else keeps saying it, so now I feel I have to keep saying it. It's head good, body good, feet good, mind good, all good.
Head good, body good, feet good, mind good,
all
good.
And it's a bit of a mouthful, but it's a way to be conscious and stay grateful every day for the things that I have that are going well for me. So I think everybody could kind of relate to that, even when things are not going so well.
We absolutely can relate to that. Derek, you're wonderful. We love speaking to you. Derek Cullen, your Facebook group, it's just Derek Cullen at facebook.com, and your website is outdare.ie.
The Facebook page is Derek Cullen Outdoors.
Derek Cullen Outdoors.
Maggie, can I just say hello to my three nephews,
of
Mikey,
course.
Aaron and Keane Cullen.
Of course, they're back in Dublin.
I hope they're listening.
I'm sure they are. Listen, Derek, lovely speaking to you. Are you heading out for a walk now?
I am. Well, I had to walk here, so I'll have to walk home. I have to walk to the post office with the deliveries for out there, and then I'll walk home. But the thing about Malin Head is people offer me a lift every day here. I don't have to walk. I just love doing it.
You do. Derek, wonderful speaking to you. Have a lovely Christmas, and best of luck with everything.
Thank you so much. Happy Christmas to everyone listening. Thanks a lot, Maggie.
Thanks a million. We'll take a quick break.